On this episode of the Thunder Nerds, we talk to Amber Osborne, CMO at Meshfire.
Finding your tribe.
And going from Bruce's yams to number 2 on the Forbes top 50 list. This episode of the Thunder Nerds is brought to you by CodePen. Are you a new designer getting started like myself, or an advanced developer like Frederick or Eric looking to expand your knowledge? Well then, CodePen is right for you. CodePen allows you to merge the semantics of HTML, the style of CSS, and the function of JavaScript into one sandbox, showing you your hard work and allowing you to test it in real time. Are you stuck on a project? Maybe you can't figure out how to scale your web app. Well, CodePen has you covered. From their rich community of willing to help developers and their ready-to-use patterns, everything you need is at your fingertips. We here at the Thunder Nerds only promote what we love and use. We want to thank CodePen for believing in us and you, the listener, for making this possible. Head on over to www.codepen.io and set up an account right now. Accounts range from free. That's right, no dollars, my friends. These are nice guys and gals at CodePen, ladies and gentlemen, to pro accounts starting as low as $9.99 per month or $75 for the year. Free accounts allow you to stockpile and show off your work. Hey, maybe you're looking to make money. Head on over to www.codepen.io and make a free profile. Mark yourself as hireable. Create something. Hell, share it. Companies and indie developers around the globe use CodePen to find developers that fit their needs. Pro accounts allow unlimited private pens, live view, asset hosting, a collaborative mode. Don't work on projects alone, people. Professor mode. You want to pass your knowledge along, don't you? Send to phone messages, unlimited embedded themes with custom CSS, and custom CSS on your profile, blog, or blog post. CodePen. CodePen, a playground for the front end web. Learn, share, teach. CodePen.
Thunder! 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 Thunder!
Welcome to Thunder Nerds, where the hills are alive with the sound of technology. My name is JD Riot.
I'm Eric Shin.
And I am Frederick Philip von Weiss. The Thunder Nerds is a design and developer discussion for all levels of people in the industry that simply love what they do and do web good. And today I'm web also good. Alive with the sound of technology. I feel that.
Indeed you are. And alive with the sound of your own voice. Welcome to not being sick anymore, sir.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was quite awful. Ugh.
Yeah, all right. So this is a special one for me. I've wanted this one since we started the podcast. I am super excited to introduce this person. Let's take a minute to just run down some accolades. Number 2 on the Forbes list of the 50 most influential CMOs in the world. Top 100 CMOs by Media Marketing. She's made the 30 Under 30 in 425 magazine. She's been featured in Forbes, Time Magazine, Huffington Post, Mashable, TechCrunch, MSNBC, LA Weekly, CNN, ABC, you name it, she's on it. She's spoken at CSS. She's spoken at South by Southwest. She will be speaking even more. I've hugged this person in real life. I've danced beside this person in real life. When I think up wild ideas of what might happen if I follow my dream, her example is the paramount touchstone by which I gather all of my enthusiasm. Some call her Miss Destructo, some call her Amber. I have the distinct pleasure of calling her friend, and sometimes Cortana. Ladies and gentlemen, Amber Osborne.
Can I hire you as my hype man? Seriously, that was amazing.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. That's free for you to use. We'll isolate it
that
and give it
incredible.
To you.
That was incredible. I sound awesome.
It took me a total of 5 minutes to write that, by the way.
I'm even more excited to talk to you now after hearing that.
I know. Like, I actually kind of want to, like, talk to myself. I'm like, good job.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be able to go back and listen to this. I will oversell you. But, Amber, let's get right into it. I have known you
for
a while, and we'll get
way
into the back like the back history of like before, you know, and how the Miss Destructo persona came about. But like, I just want to ask you a serious question that I've been wanting to ask you for like 7 years.
I won't marry you. I'm sorry.
No. I don't need marriage. That's Nate. I think. You're already taken. I'm more of like a dessert course. I'm no one's like main course. Like I'm the thing that gets you through and that you regret later because you know it's going to put on pounds. But here's the thing.
Delicious.
Where the hell do you get off being such a badass in a male-driven industry?
Oh, dude, I gotta tell you, it's a challenge, but coming from, I started in the music industry, I think I learned a lot there, just, you know, how the world works. And the thing is, I always have kind of, not an issue with, you know, being a woman in tech per se. I just want to be a person in tech, you know, and I kind of treat other people like that, you know. I don't go forward and be like, hi, I'm a woman in tech, you know. I think it's just being on the same level with other people and just having respect. I mean, that's what makes me keep going. I mean, I have had plenty of challenges, I gotta tell you. You should see some of the emails that I get that call me like ma'am. And yeah, fun stuff.
the equivalent of listen, sir, like our Kevin Smith-isms.
Yeah, and I actually, now that I'm working more in the video game industry, I'm seeing kind of that segregation even more, sadly.
Really?
Which is really weird, though, because I just saw Nerdist just published a article saying that women now are actually making up the bulk of the actual video game industry. So, shout out to Greg Miller, Michelle Tam.
It's the weirdest freaking thing. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it as much as a lot of my friends do. I actually have a really great story about that. One of my friends, Becky, who works in the video game industry, she's in marketing, and she got a YouTube comment on a video of a game that she was promoting. And again, she's like the marketer and PR person for this game. She knows everything about this game. And this guy comments and he's like, oh, well, you're wrong about this because this is really how the game's supposed to be. And then he comments, you're beautiful, but you're wrong. And she was just like flipping tables and being like, this is why. So, I mean, you face it every day. You know, the mansplaining and things like that. But the thing is, it's how you handle it and how you kind of put yourself forward anyways that really makes a difference.
Yeah, it's interesting that, like, some people have to feel they need to express a comment like that to... I don't even...
Yeah, it's kind of like a one-upping, right? It's like, I'm a man, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to understand what goes on in their head if they're thinking, like, I'm a man and you woman, you be quiet.
Yeah, you go in your corner.
What compels them to make some kind of statement like that, like, or like whistle at somebody going by? Like, what kind of exchange do they think is going to be the result of that kind of
expression? Yeah, I mean, are you going to be... Right, and I mean, last week I was at an event in San Antonio, and I was coming out of the elevator, and as soon as I got out of the elevator, this guy whistles at me. Like, I didn't even get down the hall yet, and he whistled at me. And I just turned around, and I'm like, sir, that is inappropriate. And his face was just like, oh, crap, I got caught. And I'm always like, what do you expect the outcome to be? Like, you expect me to go like, hey, thanks for whistling at me. Want to go back to the hotel room? Right. Like, that's not what happens. So I face it so much.
Push all the buttons.
Oh yeah, exactly.
It must be some kind of psychological thing where I'm not going to pretend I understand this, but like it maybe it's in their mind they're not actually looking at a person. It's more a object.
Yeah.
And they're not. They don't have that ability to. Have an exchange of intelligent expression to a woman.
Oh, I've got a
Well, it's hard. Every guy wants to do this whole dick measuring contest with the next guy, but when you saddle up to somebody who doesn't have a dick and is still better than you, you get a little
exactly.
diminished. And
it's like, I actually have a great story about that. I was at RSA, which is a huge security and tech conference in San Francisco. And I mean, the women to men ratio is very low. And I was out in an event on the first night, and it was just like a light happy hour thing with snacks and drinks, not like a crazy like club party or anything like that. And this group of dudes come up to me at the bar, and they're like, "Hey, can I buy you a drink?" And I'm like, "Okay, cool, whatever." But then I start talking to them, and just how they're talking to me was like, "What are you doing here? You know, what are you doing at a conference like this?" And the guy was just being really kind of sleazy and just, again, like trying to say, like, he had, like, an amazing job and all this stuff, trying to one-up me. And I didn't even tell him what I, like, really did. So I gave him my card. I see him two nights later at another event, and he comes up to me and he's like, "I just want to apologize. Like, I'm sorry. Sorry how I acted." And then I noticed, he looked at my LinkedIn profile. And I just went, "Really? Like, you should treat people the same way, you know, regardless of, you know, if you know what they do or what they don't, you know, who they are. You know, I have an inane talent of just being completely unaware of who people are. So, like, I'll meet celebrities or I'll meet people and I'm just, like, chatting with them, having a normal conversation, talking about their dogs or whatever. And then someone comes up to me, like, "Do you know who that is?" And I'm like, "I don't care." And I think that's how I think that's also how I meet so many people and have such good relationships with people, because I treat everybody the same, you know? It's all about, like, making that connection, not one-upping each other. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, I hate egos.
Yeah, I have to. I like when I met, because I met like Randy, who is. I mean, if you ever met Randy,
no, Pickford, I haven't.
Probably one. Oh my God, he is probably one of the sweetest gentlemen
that's,
I have ever.
That's what I've heard.
Had the pleasure of.
Yeah, I just hung out. I just hung out with Cliffy B last week. That, you know, started.
Cliffy
dude,
B.
Like one of the nicest freaking guys, and he talks about this all the time. Like, just be nice to people.
And that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people give him shit for what he drives and the money he made, but he had a great idea. He had probably one of the most influential video games of the last 10 years, franchise-wise and stuff like that. And he is, though he lives extravagantly, extremely humble.
Extremely humble.
I mean, Pitchford was the same way.
And it's the thing is, I run into people, however, that are on the opposite spectrum, and nobody likes them. You know, and that's not a way to live. I never want to live like that. And I think I also learned a lot from being in the club scene. You know, be nice to people. Like, don't be a shithead.
I think it's one of those things where people that are doing the quote unquote fake it till you make it kind of psychology of climbing in their career ladder. A lot of times they're probably more not as confident and probably extremely defensive.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? So they're not the people that are the nicest people, because they're looking at everybody as their enemy rather than, hey, how can I be nice to people
right.
and help people out? So you have a lot
sense.
Of that in any industry. I know, you know, I've worked with those kind of people in the past. And when you do try to help them, they pull out the nails and they pull out the knives and they go, "Stay back." But it's hard to pull them in and go, "Hey, dude, I'm not your enemy. I'm just trying to be a friend here. You know, I'd like to help you out and just actually have a human interaction and be a buddy and you know, a colleague." So those are the kind of people that you don't actually get like real interactions with and exchanges with of ideas and whatnot.
Well, those are the people who wear axe, watch Michael Bay movies, are going to watch the game tonight, and are also, it's, like I said, man, it's filters.
Yeah.
You'd stay away from those people. I love that those people have those opinions.
Yeah.
Great. Have those opinions. because I don't, that just helps me shuck the wheat from the corn, you know, the wheat from the stalk.
Oh, dude, yeah, it's today's the best day to go out to a restaurant or go to Disneyland, if that's your thing too. Because you don't have a lot of the schlockos out. You can just
I'm doing all my shopping today. Like, I'm going to the mall, I'm doing everything. Nobody's gonna be there. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, Super Bowl's today, Eric.
All right.
Welcome, Eric. Welcome back to Eric.
You're in a circle of friends.
It's okay.
I wouldn't know that it was today either.
It's okay, buddy.
Unless I had Facebook telling me that.
Yeah, Facebook did sit there and actually tell me that today, which was, I was like, oh, that's unpleasant.
Facebook didn't even bother me
today. I'm in Seattle, and our football culture here is insane. So I can't get away from it. And our team's not even playing in the Super Bowl. So I'm just like, yay.
Wow. Hey, you know, Amber, speaking of Seattle, that gives me a transition to ask you this question here. Could you tell us your story of how you went from Head of Lettuce in Tampa to Seattle? Like, what did that look like? How did you make that?
What did it look like?
The story of
What did it look like? It looked like a freaking like bowl of spaghetti up on the wall. Like it was a crazy journey. It was not something that I had planned for or even prepared for. So I started an advertising and marketing agency in Florida. And before that, I was, you know, doing promotional stuff for bands and doing artist management and touring with bands. That was in college. Then I went to college. I went to University of Tampa, moved to Greenville, South Carolina. Do not recommend that. Greenville is a beautiful place. I got to tell you, I had a blue mohawk at the time, and I had a degree in my hand.
And
I could not get a job anywhere. First question out of their mouth, and this is not legal, is, you know, what church do you belong to? And I'm just like, okay.
What?
So, yes. Yeah. So Greenville was fun.
You could have sued them off that question.
And
this was all in South Carolina.
Greenville, South Carolina is fun. But so from there, I didn't drive when I was living in Greenville, and because of that, it was very hard for me to kind of get out and network. So I found Twitter, and Twitter was an amazing way for me to network. And that was back in 2008. So Twitter was still new. And at first I was like, what the hell is this Twitter thing? Like, why does anybody want to know like what you're eating for breakfast? But then I found the actual use in it for networking, because there was all of these people in Greenville that were on Twitter and using Twitter, and business folks. And I learned a lot from them. So I started blogging and stuff like that, and that kind of turned into a job, really strangely, with Bruce's Yams.
Oh my God, holy throwback.
Man, holy throwback. So the Bruce's Yams got started because I tweeted out something about, like, I was starving, I was unemployed, and so I was eating out of a can of yams one morning, and someone's like, oh, what the hell? Like, what are yams? What are sweet potatoes? So I explained it. And then it just took off. Like, people were, like, sending me pictures of Bruce's yams and stuff all the time on Twitter. And, like, a random fan of mine or something, like, came up to me and was like, hey, you should probably try to contact them and see if they need help with their social media. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, Bruce's is a company from the 1930s. They started in Louisiana. Like, there's no way that they're even doing social media. So my fans started a letter writing campaign for me. I did not know this. I did not sign off on this. And Bruce's then contacted me because they got tons of postcards and letters and crap from people saying, like, you should hire this blue-haired young chick. And so I got an email that was very cryptic, and all it said was, like, who are you and why do you like our yam so much? And I'm like, what the hell? They sent me a box, almost a small refrigerator sized box with just like yams and stuff like that. And I'm like, thanks guys, at least I won't starve. Wow. So yeah, it was just weird.
They should have just taped a picture of Morgan Freeman on the front of it so you could be like, what's in the box?
It was creepy too because it wasn't labeled. Like, I'm like, guys, you are the creepiest freaking company. So now I learned a little bit more of why that was. So they flew me out because they were like, hey, let's talk. So they flew me out to New Iberia, Louisiana, which is about 2 hours outside of New Orleans. And I get there and I'm just like, holy crap, there is nothing here but Bruce's and Tabasco. They're actually in the same, yes. They're in the same city. And
I think Tony Sacheres is in that city.
There's a lot of things probably in that city. I did not take the time to explore, trust me. So I was there for a couple days, and they're like,
"What was that?" Didn't go out frog gigging or anything.
No.
It's where you stick a frog with a something.
No. Perfect response to that. Okay, so you're. So you're in Buttfuck,
yeah,
Egypt.
Yeah, I'm in nowhere, and I gotta tell you, I was staying at the Bruce's, like, the family mansion that was deserted, and the marketing guy was living there. The marketing guy was from some Nordic country, Sweden, I think. And so it was just me and him in this huge, like, mansion, Louisiana-style mansion for a couple of days. And, yeah, so then I got the job, and I worked there for a year. I did their social media, and we had a really interesting issue with that because it was trying to change the demographics of sweet potatoes. You know, sweet potatoes is a food that's only consumed, like, maybe twice a year during Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we had a great blast with that because we made the can of yams personality on social media just be a real jerk. Because my like method of thinking about that was, you know, you're in a can all the time, you know, you're stuck with all of these other yams, you're going to be kind of grumpy. So we had a lot of fun with that, and we had an immense following of people that would send us, like, pictures and photoshops and all kinds of crazy stuff. I still get them. So I was taking care of my dad in Florida, and I was still unemployed. And trying to find a job in Tampa was very difficult because I didn't drive. And I decided to go out and network. And I met my business partner for Head of Lettuce Media, Tony. And he's like, yeah, you know, I live right basically down the street from you. I've got some clients already lined up. Like, let's do this. So I did that for about 2 or 3 years, just working mostly with small businesses and a lot of events, just helping out with social media and kind of going in and fixing a lot of messes. So it was a lot of companies that had social media, but they weren't doing a good job at it. So we would go in and do coaching and help them out with that. And so one night I was on Twitter and I was talking about how much I didn't like the functionality of TweetDeck because they removed some features. And someone chimed in who is now the CEO of Meshfire, Eli, and he's like, I wish they had this, and I wish they had this, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I work with a lot of clients, and they're just like, you know, I wish we had a social media tool that was a little bit more custom to what we need to do and affordable. So from that conversation, about 4 months later, Eli sends me a message, and he's like, hey, I kind of made like a wireframe of what we were talking about, and I was like, okay, whatever. And I took a call with him. I learned kind of more of what he had in mind of what he was trying to build, and he's like, yeah, I want to put like an AI behind it. I want to put like machine learning behind a social media management tool. So essentially it'll help you out to do stuff in the background when you're not there. And I went, okay, this sounds really freaking cool. Like, I've always wanted to build something. I've always wanted to, you know, be on that end where I can create something. Because I'm a creative person. It's just, it's tough when you're in the tech industry to be a creative outside of, you know, art and design and things like that. And so I was like, okay, cool. what's the next step? And he's like, how about you come out to Seattle for a week? I've kind of got somewhat of a team together. Let's talk. So I flew out here. I fell in love with Seattle. It's absolutely gorgeous here. And I sent my now fiance a message just saying, like, send the dogs. Like, I'm going to stay. And he's like, no, like, you got to come back. So I work for Meshfire for a couple of months, actually 6 months, flying back and forth like every couple of weeks from Florida to Seattle. I didn't know where I was most of the time during that time period. But it was interesting because I was working hand in hand with developers, which I had never done before. So developers have a language that is not something that us creatives really understand that well. So I had to learn a lot in a very short amount of time. You know, I learned Scrum. I learned all kinds of fun things. It was kind of like Gorillas in the Mist, I always say. You know, it was like, just can you just, like, make me a picture? Like, computer sad? Like, it was challenging because I was going into creating a piece of software that was really intense, especially with the machine learning behind it. So that's essentially how I ended up in Seattle, and I've been here for almost 4 years now.
So what exactly does it do? So from my understanding, that's what Meshfire is.
Yes.
That is the name of the product,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So Meshfire, I read that it's described as a social media management platform,
mm-hmm.
with artificial intelligence. What exactly does that mean? Like, what does it do?
So Meshfire essentially is kind of a better way to manage Twitter. A lot of people, when they first get on Twitter, they're just like, holy crap, there's so much noise. Like, where do I start? Who do I talk to? What do I talk to people about? And we help them out with that. So our machine learning or AI agent is called Ember. I can explain a little bit more later of how we got that name. And what she does is she goes in and finds things that maybe you missed, you know, while you were gone, or finds people to talk to and tells you also what to talk to them about. As well as just honing in on your community on Twitter, like your friends and your followers, what they're saying on Twitter and what you really need to pay attention to instead of like all of Twitter. So you're not going to see anything about like Kim Kardashian or Beyonce pop up unless a lot of your friends are talking about that topic. So we really tailor Twitter to what you actually need to see instead of like the whole fire hose. So that's Meshfire in a nutshell. We work a lot with the video game industry and community managers of certain games. Bungie is one of our customers. They do the game Destiny. Wargaming is one of our customers. You name it. We've got a bunch of indie studios in there too. We also work with the Washington State Department of Transportation. They monitor traffic on Twitter, and we've actually helped help them find car accidents before anybody actually tweeted at them about it. So it's definitely got a lot of uses in a lot of different places. We work with the EMP Museum here in Seattle. There's been a lot of times where people are tweeting out about like things at the EMP Museum, not directly at them, but they'll see something pop up because Meshfire found it. So it's all across the board, but we have a great time working with the video game industry, especially because they have certain challenges, especially with managing large communities that, you know, brands and companies just don't have.
Yeah, that's
nice. Awesome.
That's fascinating. So that's I could see the implications of how amazingly useful something like that is, and how people would be so excited to have something like that.
Man. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, like one of the things I thought that would go well with just hearing it, like when you talk about the organicness and how it found those traffic accidents, was the navigation app Waze.
Yeah.
If you guys aren't plugged in with them, I think they could use you guys like crazy, because I mean they're probably hands down the best and the most accurate, but I've driven past a couple, like, pulled over people before, like, the Wazers got to it.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Like, if they had had, like, mesh, you know, or something like that, or Ember, maybe they could have found that or something like that. But let's go back. I mean, like, right now, I think your Twitter followers are somewhere in the insane realm of, like, 33,000.
Oh, I thought you just meant, like, insane, because a lot of them are. But that's why I love them. You
know, they are. Well, they are. But, I mean, let's go back to, like, even before 16K yeah. followers, which was, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, which was, I mean, I remember the first time I looked you after like knowing you in the club and a club scene and all that other stuff. I looked at it and I was like, right now, if she was to go into the Lightning, Tampa Bay Lightning's dome, they wouldn't have enough seats to find to house all of her Twitter.
Wow,
followers.
I've never thought of it like that.
That's how many Twitter followers you had when we were becoming friends. It's insane. I mean, it's you had over 16,000. But let's go back to before that. Where did the idea for Miss Destructo come from? And I noticed recently that you're kind of not getting away from it, but more identifying as Amber Osborne, you know, in certain social media aspects. I mean, where did that come from, and why now the transition into, you know, your yeah. alter ego to regular
yeah.
ego?
So do you want the PG story or like the R-rated
no.
story?
No, this is podcast.
Absolutely
sister.
R-rated.
So I actually, yeah. I got the nickname Destructo when I was working with bands, because I'd always break shit. And mm-hmm. we needed, so my name's Amber, and there was a lot of ladies, that were friends with bands that, their names were Amber, and a lot of them exactly weren't the smartest people. So I just said to them, like, hey, please call me a nickname or something. So people just started identifying me as Destructo, like, around, like, the band scene and stuff. And then I used it as my online moniker and stuff for years. And after that, you know, when I was getting into business, I'm like, you know, I want to set up a brand for myself, because I looked at like a lot of bloggers, like Gala Darling and some of these like lifestyle bloggers back in the day, and like Zoetica Ebb, and they all have like these larger than life kind of like personas that are under their real name. And at the time, I think this was when, like, Lady Gaga was really popular, and I just went, you know what? I want to do something kind of like that, you know? It's like, I need a way to connect with people that's not my own, you know, yay, Amber Osborne, woohoo! You know, that's not exciting. So I created Miss Destructo also underneath the premise that, you know, you should destroy those stereotypes that are in business, you know, whether, you know, you're a woman or whatever, you know, there's just so many stereotypes that you have to kind of, you know, fall in line with, especially when you're in the business world. And I want to kind of destroy that for people. I want to show people that, you know, this blue haired girl can do amazing things in business and really kick ass in business, but I can still be myself. And a lot of people since then have been like, you know, bring the blue hair back, because I've since gotten rid of it and everything, bring the blue hair back. And I've been kind of shifting more out of like the whole Miss Destructo persona, because again, I started this like, oh God, 7, 8 years ago. And since then, I always say to people, you know, it's kind of like David Bowie. David Bowie evolved from Ziggy Stardust into many different kind of forms throughout his career. I kind of feel like I'm doing the same thing, and it just kind of naturally happens too. I think also in careers and whatever, even if you were not under like a persona or a name, we all feel those shifts in evolution. So I currently, like, I've been stepping a little bit further away from it. I'm always going to be Miss Destructo. There's always going to be a really embarrassing hashtag on Twitter called Blame Destructo. That's a fun one. So, yeah. if you ever have, you know, a couple hours to look how I've, make people's lives a little bit more awesome, go check out the hashtag Blame Destructo. I'll always be Miss Destructo, but, you know, it's something that just kind of happens over time, and I just feel like, you know, I'm I've grown a little bit further away from that girl I was. I feel like more, you know, of a woman now. So Miss Destructo is a little bit more, I would say, younger of that place where I first started at.
Are you in
Destructo? Yeah, no, I'm not actually. I'm still working. I'm still working on that. Who knows when that's gonna happen?
I know.
I got business. I got business to run.
Yeah, I know.
I can't plan a wedding.
Trust me. No shit, right? You need a.
Can we just have it at the castle?
Do you really want to do that? Because I mean, yeah, I was gonna say, because if you really want to do that, yeah, that's like the easiest thing
I've been to a wedding at the castle before. Just as long as the senator shows up and cuts the cake, I'm not gonna say with what.
Mike, you don't want to know what he's gonna cut the cake with.
Well, it's the senator. I assume it's his cock.
Yeah, oh yeah, it totally is. Yeah, and he's gonna leave a surprise in that cake while he's doing it.
I just want to interject really quick for those who don't know the senator at the castle or even know the castle. Just look it up.
Don't look it up. Please don't put on image search.
And then when you look it up, tweet.
Oh my God! No.
Nice.
No, I
look for that in the show notes.
Here's the thing: is like Mike the senator is actually one of the nicest guys. As creepy as he is, I gotta tell you, I mean that's living. Like he decided, like I want to do this, I want to be this person, and he's freaking owning it. And again, he's a nice guy. So anytime I hear somebody talk about him, you know, and trust, I mean, we know people talk. They're always like, Mike's the nicest guy. And I'm like, yeah, he is. So, I mean, whatever.
I think that goes all the way back to the beginning of our conversation. And kind of one of the main points you underlined, Amber, is that you, one of my sayings is that don't judge a book by what you're reading it.
Yeah.
Because you can't judge people. You will have a perception of people that might not be accurate or might not be the same perception. There's people that are colorblind that don't know what blue is.
Exactly.
So just because, say, somebody is dressing up the way, like, the senator dresses up, you don't know who he actually is or, you know, what's in his heart, what he does for business. Just because you're a young woman with blue hair doesn't and enjoys yams doesn't mean anything, or asking her what church she belongs to. Like, these are things that mean absolutely nothing. What you should be, if you must judge someone on, is what they actually do. So if you're somebody that is in marketing, what is the results of your work? If you're somebody that enjoys being a musician, what kind of music are you making?
Right.
If you're a baker, what how are your cakes? Not what, you know, what you look like, or maybe what your perceptions of that person are.
I absolutely agree, and I know recently there was something that happened. You know, Lemmy from Motorhead passed away, and I watched. I sat in my hotel room in Vegas and watched his funeral online, and all of these people had just amazing stories of how nice of a guy he was and how he took care of his friends and the people around him. And, you know, if you look at Lemmy right off the bat, you're like, that guy's a hellraiser, you know? He's probably got a bad attitude or whatever. And he wasn't. And I was just really touched by the life that he led and the people that he helped throughout his career. And I totally agree with you. You know, I think a lot of people make judgments about people, and it's really who you are and how you just be awesome to other people. And that's honestly, that's how I've gotten so far in my career, because I've helped other people before I've helped myself.
Yeah, I've always said don't let the information of others dictate your relationships with new people. Like, it's important to hear what they're saying and to, in the back of your head, be discerning. Right. But you can't let someone else dictate what your experience is going to be with people, because most of my friends are not generally liked by a ton of people because they don't prescribe to this I need everybody to like me sort of a thing. It's like I'm traveling on my tracks. If you get on my tracks and you're not going the way I'm going, you can hitch a ride, but if you try and cross them and I'm coming, you're gonna get mowed through. Like, sorry, it's nothing personal, it's just the train's going.
Go ahead.
I think it's one of those things too, also, that if unfortunately certain parts of the country are a little bit, if we're talking about the context of the United States, where you have to travel to find more people that are like-minded or rather open-minded, like you were talking about with, what was it, South Carolina?
Yeah, South Carolina.
I mean, South Carolina still flies the Confederate flag, I believe, which it's just fucking nuts. And I think also they celebrate General Lee Day rather than Martin Luther King Day.
Oh my God.
So that kind of gives that kind of gives you an idea. But you have to if you're not in a location that you find cohesive to your thoughts or is friendly to you having some kind of progress in your life, whatever that may be, just get up and move.
Yeah.
Just go. Like you did. You said this isn't for me and you left and you found a place where you could be successful.
Exactly.
And that's great, and that's what people need to do.
Exactly. And I'm a big component for that. And the thing is, like, people are like, yeah, but that takes a lot of money and stuff. I'm like, look, I was poor. Like, I was poor at the time. I made it freaking happen. I did really weird like side jobs and stuff just so I could have enough money to like get my butt like back home to Florida. And then once I got to Florida, I born and raised in Florida, and I gotta tell you, growing up there was tough because I always felt like there's more than this. And even when I got a little bit older, I would go out to the nightclubs and stuff all the time, and I was just like, you know what? What the hell am I doing with my life? Like, I could do so much more. And I always felt that pull. And I always tell people, if you feel that pull of like, I should really be doing more, I should go somewhere else, do it. It might take you a couple of tries because, I mean, I was going to move to like New York City and I had a job lined up and I just felt like, no, wait a minute, that probably is not the right place for me. And you know, I moved to places like South Carolina, it just didn't work out. I got out, I learned my lesson. But Seattle, I mean, when I moved to Seattle, I'm like, you know, this is the place for me right now. It might not be the place forever, but, for right now, it's where I should be at. And, I tell kids all the time that are like, yeah, you know, I really want to get out of here and I really want to do something. And these are like kids that are talented musicians and stuff like that. And I'm just like, just freaking get out. Like, just do it. Like, I totally want to Shia LaBeouf right now. Just be like, just do it. Because, like, seriously, yeah, just move your ass and fucking do something. So...
You know, Fred brought up an interesting point about, like, progress, you know, and, like, that's what you're talking about, you know, getting out of, you know, your situation, getting a new perspective. Like, you've done that, and you're kind of at the summit point. You know, as we transition, you know, towards the end of the interview and whatnot, I wanted to know kind of like what does those accolades now that are pouring in for you mean for you? I mean, what did it mean to be on Forbes? I mean, to wake up to that, to be like, wait, you know, after all this stuff, after South Carolina, after Louisiana, after going back to Florida, after all this stuff, to be where you are now and to see it pouring in after, let's be honest, hard work. What in the hell does that sort of stuff mean?
Dude, I gotta tell you, it's like Rocky running to the top of the stairs. You know, you get to the top of the stairs and you're like, I freaking did it. You know, that was a lot of work, but I freaking did it. But you realize, you know, the fight's not over. So when I was in Forbes, it meant a lot to me because just to be acknowledged around all of these amazing CMOs and amazing people that work for like huge brands. You know, I always say like, take when you're on a list, like with a grain of salt, cause anybody can put together a list, but this had data behind it. This was a list that was put together by a lot of data
And you were at the
top of
that list.
Yeah, I was number two, and I'm like, are you sure? Like, I seriously, I felt, you know, I felt like Taylor Swift when she won the award, and Kanye, because, like, I was just kind of like, me? What? Huh? Because, again, like, I'm in a startup. Like, I don't make the most money, you know, and I'm up there with, you know, probably people that make, you know, six figures, five figures or so, and I'm just kind of like... I'm like, you know, it was a great feeling, but I realized that I could use something like that to help me with my next step. And I think a lot of people, what happens is they get one piece of something that happens in their life that just is amazing, and they stop. It kind of fuels me to keep going. You know, because I realize I'm like, shit, now I actually have to prove myself, you know, like I'm number two. I have to act like number two. That sounds awful. That yeah. sounds really awful. Don't act like number two.
No, I was thinking like that Sam Jackson anime where he's a samurai. And so that the head with the headbands and stuff like that. He was number two. He was number two the whole time. And then he just beheaded that dude that was number one and took that number one headband.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you.
I'm not thinking
like,
that.
And then it also kind of, you have a Highlander moment where you're like, there can be only one. So, you know, you
right.
you find out.
And she will have.
Right, you find out.
She will have conflicting ideas about
yeah, exactly.
Hair.
And, you know, you find out what number one's doing. And you're just kind of like, how did they make it to number one? And you learn from that and you research that. But that's not my goal. Like I don't want to be number one. I'm just happy to be number two. You know, I'd be happy to be number 44. I don't know. I've always kind of been humble whenever I get something like that. Cause I'm like, yeah, I'm like, this is awesome, but it's not for me. It's for those people out there that, you know, maybe are stuck in their small towns or maybe, you know, have blue hair or a little bit different. And for them to see like, hey, she made it this far. That means a lot to me. So that's really what, you know, getting these awards and these acknowledgments are all about. Like it's not for me. It's for these other people that, you know, might need that motivation to know like, hey, it's okay. Like you can get out there and make something of yourself.
Yeah, it's good to use those kinds of that inspiration and those kind of things to project yourself forward. It gives yourself that kind of you know what, I could keep doing that. I could do a little bit better. And like you said, like you know, when you became number two, as number two, what can I do in that situation?
Yeah, it's a weird feeling because you have all these people that are like congratulations, and you're like. For what? Right? It's like I'm like you realize like all the hard work and stuff that goes into it and like behind it and stuff, but then you're just like shit, like now I really have to prove myself. And
yeah, you've beat the path so wide. It's just but like you're looking forward the entire time at the brush that you're clearing. It's like
you don't
ever really take the time to stop back and turn back and look at like the 4 mile wide path.
No, seriously, I am like the guy who like walks away from the explosions. Like you know, even inside
back to the Michael Bay.
Right, back to Michael Bay. Yep. Like even inside I'm like, holy shit, what am I doing? I just try to keep cool. And, you know, keep going and walk and just have that stuff in the background because, you know, you can't just, you know, rest on your laurels forever. A lot of people do that and they just end up nowhere.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being cool, this has been really cool. Like I said, when I started this out, this was a dream come true podcast for me and it just happened and I'm getting two of them this week. So, stupid excited about this. I just want to thank you, Amber, for hanging out with us and talking about, you know, you, which that's not always an easy thing to do, is to actually go introspective and talk about yourself. Yeah, it does suck, but hopefully we ease.
Yeah, no, you guys are so much fun.
Oh, thanks. It was an absolute pleasure.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. We cannot wait to see you again.
Oh, you will. Oh, you will.